let us continue with our understanding from an in-depth original investigative report that I've just completed, and I'm sharing the results with you now, of Prozac and Ritalin, ADD and ADHD. I'm sharing with you the untold story. Each year, more and more children are placed on psychiatric drugs, according to Dr. Mark Barber, who was responsible for this particular report, for what are said to be, quote, biologically based brain disorders, unquote, such as attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, or ADHD. One of the most commonly prescribed drugs is sold under the name of Ritalin. To most parents, it would seem reasonable that if a psychiatrist discovered a, quote, brain disorder in their child, it should be treated. But is ADHD or ADD a brain disorder? Is Ritalin the answer? First, what do we know about ADHD? Although psychiatrists have been studying the multitude of behaviors that have been lumped together as ADHD for decades, no more is known today than was known in the early 70s when ADHD was called hyperactivity or minimal brain damage. In 1998, experts converged on the United States National Institutes of Health consensus conference on the diagnostic and treatment of ADHD. They were there to decide if there was a legitimate scientific basis for it. They concluded, quote, "We don't have an independent valid test for ADHD. There are no data to indicate that ADHD is due to brain malfunction. And finally, after years of clinical research and experience with ADHD, our knowledge about its causes remains speculative." What they're saying is that there is no scientific basis for ADHD. Well, then how in the world do we have millions of kids diagnosed with it and being given Ritalin? And that's the unfortunate part of this. Speculation about the cause of ADHD has remained constant since 1971, when a group of experts, some psychiatrists, some educators, organized under the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare, sanctioned the use of stimulants on so-called hyperactive children. Psychiatrist Daniel Friedman, the panel chairman, reported in a government journal that, quote, "We know little about definitive causes," unquote. The panel also said that they were, quote, "repeatedly struck by our lack of information in many crucial areas." These areas included diagnosis. There was no specific diagnostic test that could be done. With respect to treatment of outcome, no long-term research had been done, so the panel could not provide the public with any useful information except to say that stimulants, quote, "are beneficial in only about one-half to two-thirds of the cases," unquote, where it was thought drug treatment might be useful. Interestingly, after 30 years of using the same stimulant drugs for the same condition, the National Institutes of Mental Health states, quote, 9 out of 10 children benefit from such treatment." Well, could this be true? Or are such claims part of an ever-increasing campaign of misinformation about ADHD and other stimulants? First, let's ask the most important question of all. Does ADHD actually even exist? What evidence do psychiatrists offer to show that ADHD exists? In the early 90s, National Institutes of Mental Health psychiatrist Alan Zemtkin conducted studies using positron emission scans, or PET scans, to measure glucose activity in the brains of normal children and those given ADHD. It was reported that PET scans showed lower glucose activity in the brains of ADHD individuals. But it was later admitted that the initial study result could not be duplicated. Also, the individuals in the ADHD group had taken stimulants. Now, this is important because stimulants do what? They lower glucose activity in the brain, a fact that has been reported as early as 1951. The lower glucose activity has only been observed only in ADHD individuals who have taken stimulants. Therefore, to conclude that the only difference you could find in the brain scan of a child who is considered ADHD and the one who's considered non-ADHD or normal was a limited glucose level? But the kids that had the low glucose level, all of them had stimulants. And that causes it. So it's junk science. Proves nothing. And while the National Institute of Mental Health has used PET scan studies to forward the idea of HGA are somehow different biologically or chemically, the National Institute of Mental Health lead researcher in the PET scan studies, psychiatrist Allen, stated, quote, I am not saying their brains are abnormal, and the scans so far don't prove their brains are abnormal. They don't prove ADHD is caused by a neurobiological abnormality, unquote. Now, keep in mind what I just read you. I just read you the official statement from the official lead scientist of the government. It's a definitive statement. You can't find anything wrong in the brain of a kid who is diagnosed with ADHD. And yet, they'll come out with a press release. School teachers will accept it. Psychologists, sociologists will accept it. Pharmaceuticals are motivated by it, as if there was a reality here. There's none. And this is not speculation. This is not hypothesis, not biased opinion. This is their statement from their committee, their lead scientist, in an official position at the National Institute of Mental Health. And he's saying, quote, I am not saying their brains are abnormal, and the scans so far don't prove ADHD is caused by neurobiological abnormality, unquote. That should be the end of it. It doesn't exist. It's not real. Hence, you shouldn't be having anyone taking Ritalin. It's a fraud. In 1996, psychiatrist Judith Rapoport, director of the Child Psychiatric Branch of the National Institutes of Health, revealed in a magazine interview, quote, it has been very hard to replicate findings, unquote. You bet it has. With PET scans, and that further scan studies needed to be done, quote, on boys who have never been treated with stimulants to make sure the differences are not the result of stimulant medication, unquote. If there's some speculation as to whether or not stimulant drugs are adversely affecting the brains of children, shouldn't the public know about it? This is not the first time that study data has raised questions as to Ritalin's role in brain structure changes. In 1986, a research team found brain shrinkage in 50% of 24 young adults with hyperactivity since childhood. The conclusion was, quote, cortical atrophy may be a long-term adverse effect of this treatment, unquote, since all the subjects have been treated with stimulants. Now, what that's saying is that the brains were normal until they took the stimulants, and then the brain shrank in 50% of the young adults. So the treatment created the symptoms of the condition. Otherwise, there was no condition. And while it's been long known to doctors that stimulants can cause brain damage, at when used chronically at high doses, no one has looked at the possibility that chronic low dosage use, such as drugs that are commonly used, can cause brain damage as well. Well, Thomas Moore, senior fellow in health policy at George Washington University Medical Center, stated that brain damage from Ritalin is much higher than admitted. He cites a group of 122 children who were monitored while receiving stimulants, and in that group, one child developed brain damage that was permanent and attributed to the drug. Moore also questions the rationale of giving Ritalin to children, stating that, quote, while some claim hyperactivity in children is a biological imbalance, researchers cannot identify with chemicals or find abnormal levels, unquote. Quote, the chemical imbalance theory has not been established by any scientific evidence. Now that's by Professor Thomas Moore, senior fellow in health policy, George Washington Medical School. And while the public is given information by the National Institute of Mental Health that ADHD is neurobiological in nature, using PET scans and a, quote, chemical imbalance theory privately, National Institute of Mental Health psychiatrist Peter Jensen stated in 1996, quote, the National Institute of Mental Health does not have an official position on whether ADHD is neurobiological disorder, unquote. Sounds like an agency's talking out of both sides of its mouth, which it is, not uncommon in Washington. Decades have passed. Millions have been spent on research to find the cause of ADHD. What has been discovered is that ADHD was invented by a psychiatric committee as a vote, an agreement that it exists. No science. Psychologist Diane McInnes summed it up in 1991 by saying, quote, "We have invented a disease, given it medical sanction, and now must disown it. The major question is, how do we go about destroying the monster we've created? It is not easy to do this and still save face. Another reason why physicians and many researchers, with years of funding and academic reputations to protect, are reluctant to believe the data. 2 decades of research have not provided any validity for ADD or hyperactivity as a unique disorder." Unquote. Well, another decade has gone by, and the existence of ADHD and ADD is no closer to being proven. Hence, my report, my own in-depth independent investigation, shows that ADD and ADHD are not real. They're not brain disorders. They cannot be replicated. They cannot be proven. And I defy any scientist in this audience to bring forward one single study that shows it. Well, what does Ritalin do? It is said that Ritalin will calm hyperactive children and send their grades from F to A's. Psychiatrists say that Ritalin is safe, has few side effects, none that are severe. Ritalin is portrayed as a drug which can cause loss of appetite and slowed growth and insomnia and sometimes stomach pain. Well, but Ritalin also causes severe problems, problems parents are not usually told about. For example, Ritalin, a stimulant, is classified as an amphetamine-like drug because it is so similar to amphetamine in all of its properties. In fact, 10 milligrams of Ritalin is equivalent to 5 milligrams of amphetamine. Ritalin, like amphetamine, can cause psychotic behavior. Sometimes that psychotic behavior is extreme, and that's actually shown on the warnings of the drug packaging information. Psychiatrists know that stimulants can make children psychotic. In a 1999 Canadian Journal of Psychiatry report study, 98 children received stimulant drugs for ADHD and were monitored for almost 2 years. Six of the children developed psychotic symptoms during treatment. The journal concluded that physicians should have, quote, an awareness of the potential of psychotic side effects from stimulant medication when prescribing for children, unquote. What's frightening is that this study documented that a better than 6% rate of psychotic behavior in children taking stimulants at a time when 5 to 7 million children are now taking stimulants. This does not include children taking other types of stimulants, just Ritalin. Psychiatrists have also known for decades that Ritalin can cause psychotic behavior. In 1975, psychiatrist Daniel Friedman wrote that Ritalin was one of 5 drugs that, quote, produce psychotic reactions, unquote. Even at low doses, amphetamine-like drugs, quote, may occasionally produce psychotic states, and such psychosis may be prolonged, resembling paranoid psychosis, unquote. Knowing this, just 4 years earlier, Friedman chaired a panel which approved the use of stimulants in U.S. school children. Around the same time, in 1973, psychiatrists were giving amphetamines to volunteers in order to observe their reactions. Their reactions frightened researchers, who noted that several of the subjects expressed, quote, a desire to kill, unquote, or to do something, quote, bad or destructive, unquote. Researchers concluded, quote, in an official position, the behavior of some patients during the experimental psychosis underlies the potential danger of impulsive murderous violence in amphetamine psychosis, unquote. Check out Columbine Massacre. The rash of school shootings that have rocked this country recently have been attributed to stimulant drugs. The Washington Times Insight magazine reports, quote, the common link in the high school shootings may be psychotropic drugs like Ritalin and Prozac, unquote. For example, in May of 98, 14-year-old Kip Kinkle killed his parents, then went on a shooting spree at his Springfield, Oregon high school, killing 2 and injuring 22. He was being treated with Ritalin and Prozac. Then there was 15-year-old T.J. Solomon, who in May of 1999 wounded 6 classmates at Heritage High School in Georgia. Solomon was being treated with Ritalin. 18-year-old Jeremy Stomeyer raped and murdered a 7-year-old little girl in May of 1997, 1 week after starting to take Dexedrine. Now, are these the acts of an, quote, impulsive murderous violence that stimulants are known to cause? What are the odds that so many of these child murderers are taking psychiatric drugs? But what else does Ritalin do? Many children taking Ritalin will develop involuntary muscle contractions and limb movements known as tics or dyskinesias. Studies have shown that this can be up to 9% of children taking stimulants. Studies using monkeys in the mid-80s revealed that Ritalin, quote, induced repetitive movements of head, limbs, and trunk, producing hallucinatory-like behavior, unquote. Ritalin has also been shown to have an adverse effect on heart tissue and has been linked to cancer. In the mid-90s, the FDA forced Ritalin's maker to send letters to 100,000 doctors warning them of the possible link between Ritalin and liver cancer. Researchers reported to the FDA that their studies show, quote, clear evidence, unquote, that linked the drug to cancer. The FDA changed the warning to, quote, some evidence, which was protested by one of the main researchers. A formal proposal to keep the wording clear evidence was presented to an FDA panel. It was defeated by a vote of 4-3. Clear evidence became some evidence, and ultimately the FDA publicly announced that it was, quote, a weak link between Ritalin and cancer, and that doctors should not be concerned about continuing to prescribe it. But that's a political decision after a scientific one had already been made. So science has always usurped it at the FDA, one of the most singularly corrupt organizations of our federal government. They just couldn't tell the truth if they had to. And not with the kind of money that's at stake and future employment with the very companies they're supposed to be overseeing. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's take a look at a few other position papers now. And I'm going to read, quote, verbatim from Dr. Fred Bauman, MD. This is May 24th, 2001. His report. All biological, physical, and biochemical or medical research on psychiatry's disorders, diseases, to begin with, biological, physical, biochemical, or biomedical, are doomed to prove nothing and are fraudulent. The National Institutes of Health, Mental Health is the author of the fraud, CHAD, and NAMI and NIME, scientists, researchers, in-house conductors of the propaganda. In the December 22nd to 29th, 1999, Journal of the American Medical Association, we find the musings of heads of the constituent institutes of the National Institutes of Health as to what the future portends for their disciplines. Targeting the year 2020, Stephen Hyman, MD, director of the National Institutes of Mental Health, states, remarkably enough, quote, by 2020, it will be a truth obvious to all that mental illnesses are brain diseases that result from complex gene-environment interactions. We will be reaping the therapeutic benefits that accrue from the discovery of risk genes for autism, schizophrenia, manic depressive illness, and other serious mental disorders. We will also routinely analyze real-time movies of brain activity derived from functional magnetic resonant imaging, optimal imaging, or their successor technologies. Working together with the magnet makers, in these movies we will see the activity of disturbed neuron circuits during diverse examples of normal cognition. Amazingly, not a single mental, emotional, or behavioral disorder has been validated as a disease or a medical syndrome with the confirmatory physical or chemical abnormality or marker within the brain. And Hyman knows this, and yet the National Institutes of Mental Health and all in academic psychiatry and mental health regulatory agencies represent all of the, quote, serious mental disorders as though they were and would have the public, the legislature, and the judiciary believe that they are. Further, with not a one have so much as a physical marker and any prospect that any technology will validate a one as a disease. Dr. Hyman pledges the application from decade to decade of every evolving technology to confirm psychiatrists' belief that mental illnesses are brain diseases. Observe his use of the word normalization, establishing at least that those with mental illnesses are abnormal. Leading neurobiologic credence to depression, where there is none, and demonstrating the complicity of neurology with the biological psychiatry and thus the psychiatric pharmaceutical cartel. Gerald Fischbach, director of the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, states, quote, neurodegeneration is a ubiquitous phenomenon that occurs in many brain diseases, not only in the classic neurodegenerative disorders such as Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, and amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Neurodegenerative disorders also contribute significantly to epilepsy, multiple sclerosis, and even depression. Unquote. We are also optimistic that advances over the next two decades will allow us to identify many of the genes that cause an individual to be more or less vulnerable to drug abuse and addiction. Unquote. What he says here is that addictions are diseases waiting to be validated. Also that some putative diseases, like ADHD, predispose to substance abuse and addiction. No such thing has ever been proven. It represents a complete fraud. The public cannot imagine that an entire profession, psychiatry, would deceive and lie so completely. They cannot imagine they would spend billions of dollars, decade upon decade, on what is sham research, on sham diseases, to convey the impression that diseases invented in committee at the American Psychiatric Association, invented out of thin air, are actual diseases. Having invented such diseases, psychiatry not only suggests that we get treatment for them, but asks the legislature and the judicial to mandate treatment under threat of forced treatment, claiming they make the invented patient a danger to himself or others, or is at risk from their own life-threatening diseases. The deans of all medical schools, all department heads of on medical faculties, and all neurologists know full well that biopsychiatry is fraudulent. It's an endeavor top to bottom. They cannot volunteer this information because all of them of medical academia is bought and paid for and beholden to big pharmaceutical industries. They cannot volunteer this information because psychopharmacology, brain-altering, damaging drugs for normal children and persons is the most profitable sector or sector of all of the overall pharmaceutical enterprise. Unquote. Now, as from Dr. Bauman, let me read something from Dr. Mark Barber, who I've interviewed extensively. In fact, I probably spent close to 20 hours in personal one-on-one conversations with him because he is doing some of the most important scholarly work in this field. This I'm going to quote verbatim from his article, Bad Science, Fraudulent Claims by the Psychiatric Industry. Recently, the psychiatric industry has made an attempt to require insurance companies to recognize this diagnosis and treatments on the same financial plane as other medical ailments and treatments. This may seem logical at first. After all, a disease is a disease, isn't it? Apparently not when it comes to psychiatry. In the 1994 text, Understanding Schizophrenia, psychiatrists Richard Keefe and Philip Harvey explain, quote, psychiatric diagnosis. The process of diagnosis is very different in psychiatry since there are currently no clear indications of a specific biological abnormality that causes any of the different psychiatric disorders. No laboratory tests have been developed to confirm or refute any diagnosis. In fact, despite the claims, there are no current laboratory tests that can make that can be provided with information suggesting specific psychiatric diagnosis, unquote. Mind you, that's the official textbook of psychiatry, Understanding Schizophrenia. Quote, the statement holds for psychiatry as well, for schizophrenia as well. There are no lab tests that indicate that schizophrenia is present and the diagnosis is made by ruling out other diseases, unquote. Therefore, those who make diagnosis in psychiatry are limited in information they gather from their own observations and from what they are told by patients and families and friends and acquaintances, unquote. This puts psychiatric diagnosis in the proper perspective when comparing it to the normal diagnostic processes seen within medicine today. The just mentioned text was forwarded by Herbert Pardis former American Psychiatric Association president and former director of the National Institutes of Mental Health. He called it a, quote, informative text. Well, revealing might be a better term. In the 1986 text, Contemporary Directions in Psychotherapy, edited by psychiatrist Gerald Clerman, who also edited the Archives of General Psychiatry and sat on the American Psychiatric Association Task Force for its diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders, it was stated that there was, quote, evidence that the current psychiatric diagnosis system is a reflection of social cultural developments rather than scientific data, unquote. Let me repeat that. This is the top of the top. Gerald Clerman is the top of the top. Editor-in-chief, top psychiatrist, writing in the official textbook, Contemporary Directions in Psychopathology. Editor of the Archives of General Psychiatry. Sat on the American Psychiatric Association's task force for its diagnostic and statistical manual. And he's saying, listen carefully, quote, evidence that the current psychiatric diagnosis system is a reflection of socio-cultural developments rather than scientific data, unquote. And that it is, quote, basically a political and social device for maintaining social order that supports exploitation and injustice, unquote. So, there we have it. Finally, it comes full circle. Do your homework. Do your scholarship. Dig deep, and you'll find that all along, psychiatry is really, quote, about basically a political and social device for maintaining social order that supports exploitation and injustice, unquote. The greatest injustice would be to fund such an enterprise. One of the prime arguments made in an effort to gain higher insurance coverage for so-called mental illness is that new technology has provided brain imaging scans of various types to prove a biological component is a part of the disease profile. This is utterly false. The public has been deluged by reports that schizophrenia and attention deficit disorder have been proven to exist as neurobiological disorders because brain scans show, quote, remarkable differences between those affected and normal individuals. Looking into this, one finds a different picture entirely. A 1990 study led by National Institute of Mental Health psychiatrist Alan Zamitkin claimed to have found differences in brains of adults labeled attention deficit disorder. The control group contained a disproportionate number of women. This is important because the brains of men and women appear quite differently on the type of scan done. A former consultant with the National Institute of Mental Health, psychiatrist Peter Bregan, noted, quote, when the sexes were compared separately, there was no statistical difference between the controls and the ADD adults. To achieve significance, the data was lumped together to include a disproportionate number of women. In addition, when individual areas of brains of ADD adults were compared with the same areas of controls, no differences were found. It is usually possible to massage data to produce a particular result, and this study is a classical example of such massaging, unquote. What it means, in conclusion, is that psychiatry is a political instrument of social control, and there's not a single disease of the mind that can be validated scientifically. Hence, the diagnosis and treatment system is one massive fraud. For details on the footnotes and my research on this report, go to GaryNall.com. I want to thank you very much for listening today on a continuation of my series on abuses in psychiatry, Prozac and Ritalin.